Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Well, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's game against North Callaway, 71-14 win. What were a few things that jumped out to you on film from that one?
I think our intensity and then the overall play of the entire team. I thought we played very well as a team. We were all three phases going. I thought we wanted to come out, establish ourselves early. And then once we got the lead, we maintained that level, and then we were able to get a lot of people in and play. We really need to try to keep that intensity going. It's going to be tough, I know, because as you go on, it gets harder and harder and harder. But I really thought our execution was really starting to get where we wanted to be last week.
I mean, for a team to score six touchdowns in the first 12 minutes of the game, I mean, so many things have to, you have to perform so well in all aspects of the game, as you were suggesting. What did you think of the efficiency on both sides of the ball, how you all were able to come out and do what you wanted to do?
Well, as you said, that's hard. And people think it, I mean, they think it just happens. It doesn't. It takes 11 guys working together. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm taking away from this season is how well our continuity is between 11 guys that are on the field at the same time. They all trust each other and they're all doing their job. It's extremely, extremely important to keep that momentum riding on that. But then when I turn around, we're special teams. It's still carrying over to special teams. So it's contagious. I like it being contagious, and we're going to try to keep that rolling.
I wanted to talk about Dylan Hare really quick, just because I know we've talked about him a lot already this season. It seems like he's breaking a record that we don't even records that we aren't even aware of. But, you know, he's 69 yards passing away from 1,000 for his career. And the thing I wanted to also point out was, you know, he was 9-9 passing with very windy conditions against North Callaway. What did you like that you saw from him last Friday? And just, you know, what do you think moving forward, how big of an accomplishment is that to get to that milestone?
Well, first, it's not so much what he's doing, it's what he's saying. And he doesn't talk a lot. Let's be honest, he's a really, really humble, very quiet young man. He's a fun guy to be around. He's got a great personality. Just doesn't talk much. But last week it spoke volumes to me when he said, I want to win. When somebody asked him a question about records, he said, no, I want to win. And it just struck me. It wasn't talk. He really wants to win. He wants to win with his teammates. But then last Friday when I pulled him up and said, hey, this is going to be a 49 start. I don't want to beat around the bush. It's blowing. It's a nasty night. What can we do in our passing game? He goes, anything. He goes, I can throw it and we can do it. And he just has that uncanny knack of now of not only having the confidence, it's not cockiness. There's a confidence, but there's a swagger there that comes with, I'm not wanting to lose. And there's a difference between preparing to win and not wanting to lose. When you're prepared to win, you'll take everything. Right now, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and I think it carries over from Mexico last year. Mm-hmm. I think he really has a chip on his shoulder that he wants to show people he's a complete team player. Now, with his individual accolades, he'll tell you that it all comes back to team, but boy, he's just gifted, and you don't get to read around guys like him very often. And I've said it a bunch of times, we will sit after the season and just marvel at what this young man has done. But what I marvel the most at is how much he wants to play for his teammates. Golly, that's so rare. Mm-hmm. That is so rare. His mom and dad have to be proud because he wants not only to win for himself, but he wants his teammates to win. And that's a really unique thing in today's society.
All right, this week's opponent for the district championship, St. Francis Borgia. This is a program that Blair Oaks hasn't faced on the football field since 2007. A lot like we were talking about with North Callaway, it's been 21 years since Blair Oaks have played them. What can you tell us about Borgia that you've seen on film?
Well, they go through their quarterback. He does a great job of managing their offense. They don't score a ton of points. They're averaging like 27, 28 points a game, which that's not a ton of points. But they manage the ball so well. They're a really good high school football team that doesn't beat themselves. So by not scoring the points, they're getting 4 or 5 yards a pop. So they're a ball control offense. They play a spread offense, but I really still think they're a ball control type of mentality team. They want to extend you down the field every once in a while throws, but they're all right with taking the 6 to 8 yard passing. RPOing. They're a big RPO team. They try to get you off your mark, throw to the mark that you were on. On the defensive side of the field, they've been a 4-2-5 almost 85% of the games this year that we have seen. They really do a good job of forcing you back into the boundary and then running you down with speed. A very disciplined football team. You see they're really well coached, and they don't beat themselves.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, before we look forward to the district title preview portion of this podcast, we'll look back to last week's district semifinal, and not much of a contest there. Blair Oaks, you know, takes care of business like we thought. They beat North Cal 71-14, and it's hard to say in a game that was 71-14 that it wasn't that close, but I don't even think it was that close because it was out of control quick, wasn't it?
Six touchdowns in the first quarter for Blair Oaks, and I'm sure North Cal Wade was like, oh, we've seen this before when we played Bowling Green earlier in the year, so it was just a repeat of that. And credit to Blair Oaks' defense. They really shut down North Callaway right out the gate, and then the Blair Oaks offense just picked up right where it left off from the bye week and just kept on scoring at will.
And so it's not often that you make a statement by calling heads or tails correctly, but I think the Blair Oaks Falcons, you know, by losing a coin toss, actually won the coin toss. And I think they made a statement right from the get-go.
Right. So before the game, you know, North Cali won the coin toss, and they chose to receive the kick, which, again, I would argue if you're going to play Blair Oaks, yes, try to get the opening kick so you see if you can find a way to score first, because if you defer to the second half and you're trailing by three or four touchdowns, what's the point?
Right.
Now, the exception of that was not a good decision for North Cali on Friday night, because by accepting to receive the opening kick, then Blair Oaks has the option of deciding which way the field they would go. And if people remember last Friday, there was a big storm that was about ready to head in. But before the rain got here, there was some pretty strong winds, and Blair Oaks was like, well, fine, we're going to – so they decided to go toward the north end zone and play offensively with the wind, and I thought that made a big difference because it really didn't disrupt what they wanted to do offensively. In North Callaway, because they fell behind – they were down 14-0 less than 2 minutes in because Blair Oaks scored, and then on the kickoff return, Zach Pringer literally goes up to the guy, steals the football away from him, runs into the end zone.
Right.
Now you're North Callaway and you have to play catch-up, and – so they threw the ball 31 times and only completed 10 of them. And I really do think that the wind again, don't get me wrong, Blair Oaks' rush defense made a big difference in that. But I thought them throwing into the wind a lot in the first quarter really kind of kept them from doing anything at all offensively.
So it ends up being, you know, real easy. I mean, you end up doing what you're supposed to do. You get guys out of there early. You get people off the field. You don't risk any chance of an injury. And, you know, you just go, okay, let's get ready for next week in the district title game. So that's tonight, 7 o'clock at the Falcon Athletic Complex. And I think it's, you know, I don't think it's a stunner, but I do think it's a little bit surprising that we look at it and go, okay, instead of number 2 Herman, we see number 3 Steed, St. Francis Borgia, because Borgia ends up handling Herman pretty easily, 40-21 last week.
Yeah, I think that caught a lot of people by not a huge surprise, but a little bit just because if you talk to a lot of Blair Oaks fans, I think they were doing some scoreboard watching throughout the season of Herman because there was so much paranoia on who was going to get the one seed, because Herman was going to be a team that plays up a lot and gets those bonus points.
Sure.
And, if you look at the regular season finale, I mean, they almost beat the number 5 team in Class 4 in Union, and they go out in Week 1. They really hammer down on that on number 7 seed Cuba, and meanwhile, Borgia's 3 seed squeaked by and only won by a touchdown against California, a team that Blair Oaks handled quite well after the first quarter of their meeting. Going into that game, I would have said Herman was going to win, but credit to Borgia, what they do is they really try to control the clock with their offense, and I really think that's what happened last week. I think they had a 27-21 lead going into the third quarter, and they were able to get a couple of fourth quarter touchdowns to really kind of stretch that one out and have a more comfortable victory against Herman.
Yeah, so it's a Borgia team where you look at it and go, okay, they come in on a 4-game winning streak, but it's also kind of like you say, let's kind of look into it, and you go, okay, so last week, obviously they must have played well enough to beat Herman and what we thought was a pretty decent Herman team. But then, yes, they have that squeaker where they barely get past California. Then the win before that is actually a forfeit win against MMA. And then so you go back to that, and then you go the previous win before that was Fredericktown, who I don't think there's anything great about that team. So you go, yes, they come in on a four-game winning streak, but it's kind of a four-game winning streak where you go, it's not the most impressive of four-game winning streaks.
Yeah, one of the things you and I were talking about before the podcast is this is a Borja team that really hasn't played a whole lot of teams that I think you could say are on their talent level. If you look at a lot of their lopsided losses, I mean, one of them was to Cardinal Ritter. I mean, they've lost to really good teams, but they've also beaten some, I would argue, some bad teams. And I would argue maybe Herman was one of the first games this year where they, you know, you had two teams that were on a very similar level. So I guess in that aspect, if you're looking at Borja, they have to feel pretty good about that because, hey, we got a win over a team that I think a lot of people would say was a quality team.
So I guess if Borja does present something to be worried about tonight, what is it that's going to be concerning for Blair Oaks?
I don't know if it's concerning, but I think it's something that's different. They're going to have to, I mean, this is a balanced Borja offense. They don't have a set go-to player every game. Like, we've talked for past weeks about how, like, you know, this dual threat quarterback for this team, you got to watch out. Like, for example, last week with Braden O'Neal, you know, we knew that was North Callaway's offense.
Sure.
And yes, they've got some receivers, and yes, they've got a running back, but he was their offense. I don't think, if you look at this Borja offense, I don't think you could say that one person, we have to watch out for that one person.
Okay.
They're just so balanced. They've got a two running back system. Now, they only use one at a time, but they've got a great two running back system. They've got a somewhat balanced attack with their top two receivers. I know one has about 14 or 15 more catches than the other, but their yardage are somewhat similar, and the amount of times they've gotten into the end zone is similar. So I think that their strength is just that they're balanced, and you really can't double team someone. And we say that a lot about Blair Oaks. You can't focus on one receiver, or you can't focus in only on Dylan Hare, because if you do that, they will make you pay.
Right. So I guess if you're able to slow them enough, or if they do have some success offensively, which I doubt against the stout Blair Oaks defense that they've put up this year, it's been phenomenal. I guess then it just boils down to, can Borja come up with enough stops to even keep this one close? So I would say, how good is their defense, and how likely are they to be able to cause any problems for the Falcons?
I mean, if you look at their numbers, I think they average and they score and they allow a similar number of points, and they're both in like the mid-20s. They're not a team that scores a lot, but I think the argument for that is going back to what we were talking about earlier. They don't score quickly. They really take up time on the clock. That's probably going to be what they have to do. What they need to do, if Borges is going to have success tonight, what they need to do is when they have the ball, you need to eat 5 to 6 minutes off the clock, which means if you're going to do that, you've got to convert on third down. And I think that's been, I wish that's something I would have kept track of throughout the season, is what team's third down conversion rates are against Blair Oaks. But their Blair Oaks defense, I would say it's less than 20% success rate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a trend that Borja is going to have to turn. So if you're going to do that, what you have to do is you have to find yourself in third and two situations, whereas the Blair Oaks defense is really good at putting you in third and 12 or third and 10 even. Defensively, I mean, I think this is... I think on the flip side, it's going to be a Blair Oaks team that's going to score quickly.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to probably be one of the things that Borja has to do is they've got to find a way to force turnovers. I know that's something that Coach LePage told me was going to be the key going in, because if you look last week, I think Blair Oaks lost a turnover battle 2-1.
Okay.
This is a Borja team that thrived on turnovers, speaking of which, against Herman. I think they forced three of them, and they're probably going to have to do that again against Blair Oaks. And I would argue if you're Borja, you cannot waste any possession. I hate to say you need to score every time you touch the ball, but if you're Borja, you almost kind of do tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So while I think we have a little weather subplot, I don't think it can be game affecting like it was last week, from the standpoint of that rain and that torrential rain.
Yeah.
Could be problematic for certain teams. I don't think that tonight's cold is going to be a determining factor, but I do think it just presents an interesting different little wrinkle that we haven't had yet this year, because even the games where it felt like, oh, we're a little bit colder than we were the previous week, we never were chilly. This is the first time where it's going to feel like postseason football weather, and I think it's just going to be a matter of, it's just going to be interesting to see how different the atmosphere feels, just from the standpoint of, this is going to be one of those games where people are walking into the game with big coats, heavy jackets, they're bringing in quilts to lay on their laps. It's just going to have a feel for, this is going to be football time. So I think it's just going to be an interesting different little wrinkle that we're going to have to see tonight.
Yeah, I think the cold won't be that big of an issue for Blair Oaks, because this will probably be the coldest game since that that district title game last year at Mexico, but I would argue what was more bothersome than the cold, because I think the wind chill that night last year was in the mid to upper 20s. The reason the wind chill was so low is because there's a good 15 to 20 mile an hour wind also. I would argue that if there is a wind, that poses a bigger problem. Okay. Because if I remember right, Blair, that was a game where Dylan Hare got hurt, and Blair Oaks in the second quarter found itself throwing into the wind, and that led to a couple of turnovers. So to me, if it's, you know, what, 35 degrees, but there's no wind, I think Blair Oaks is fine. If it's one of those things where it's 35 degrees, but there's also a 15 right. mile an hour wind, and you find yourself in the wrong direction of it, that could pose some problems.
Yes. All right, I guess we'll just get to this to ask you straight up. I got a funny feeling it's a Blair Oaks win tonight, but yeah. Do you agree, and how close do you think this one is?
Yeah, I think Blair Oaks wins. I think the question is, you know, just, you know, the biggest question mark to me is how much does Borgia alter their game plan? Will they do it at all? Will they do it some? Will they alter it completely? I mean, there's a Blair Oaks team that scored at least 35 points in every game, so and their defense, you know, has shown up and played really well. I think this is a game Blair Oaks wins 49-14.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N, 05. Thanks for listening.